So I chose these two scripture readings this morning because they give two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, we have John that speaks in metaphor, that has poetic language talking about the Word. He does not say anything about virgins. He does not say anything about babies. He does not say anything about birth, nothing about fleeing, nothing about wise men, nothing about angels, nothing about shepherds. It's very esoteric language. It's almost surreal. And on the other hand, we have Luke, one of the synoptic gospels, that talks about a very real two parents, one of whom has just given birth, taking a baby to the temple to have him circumcised, blessed, make the appropriate sacrifices. Two completely different tellings of the same story. Do you hear that? John is an anomaly because the other three Gospels talk all about the birth. John talks about the Word and the light. So let's talk about that just for a little bit, because when we hear him say things like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, it's very evocative. And it throws us back to the very beginning of scriptures, the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. Did you hear that? Do you hear that when he says, in the beginning was the Word? In the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. We're right back to the beginning. And then he says, and the Word was with God. And he talks about how in the beginning there was God and there was the Word. And this is a shocking, this is a very new and different way of describing what happened in the beginning. And at the time he said it, at the time this was written, it would have sort of smacked people's sensibilities just a little bit. What are you suggesting? There were two entities in the beginning? Are you suggesting there were two? Because there was only one. And so he says right after that, and the Word was God. Not God was the Word. He's not changing God. He's giving us more information. More information about that beginning story. And then next he says, all things came into being with the Word, which is light. And when you look at the creation story in Genesis, right after you hear about in the beginning, he starts talking about creating the lights in the skies, the day and the night, the sun, the moon, and the stars. You see that? The light and the light. And what happens next in the creation story? What comes after all the lights? Not quite yet. The birds and the fishes and the seas and the vegetation and the living creatures. And what happens next in John? What comes? The life. The light and the light, the life and the life, and then all the people. And John says, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Do you see how that parallels the Genesis story? He's giving us more information about that. And then we have this wonderful phrase, and the flesh came and lived among us. Lived among us. This is very much like a new Exodus story. And it's not the only time we see it. We see lots of references throughout the Gospels to Jesus as the new Moses. But what's really interesting is the word they used for lived among us, dwelled among us. In the Greek, it is the word for tented. He tented among us. Do you remember what happened in the book of Exodus when the people fled Egypt and they were wandering through the desert? Where did God live? In the tabernacle, in the giant tent that they would move around with them. Right? God lived among us. Very much like the book of Exodus. Very much like that story. He's throwing us back to remind us of the beginning, to remind us of the way things were. And then he talks about how the law was indeed given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. For the rest of this preamble to John's gospel, he talks about the relationship between God and the Word. And you see him going back and forth and back and forth. And in the beginning, when he says in the beginning, it can mean in the beginning of history. It can also mean at the root of the universe. But John's position is clear. There was never a time when the Word was not. There was never a thing that did not depend on the Word for its existence. The Word continually was. The Word was not a creation. God reveals God's self through the Word. It's not static. It's not just information. It is life. The Word is creative, just like in the book of Genesis when God spoke and life happened. God spoke and creation happened. God spoke and things were made. The same with the Word. The Word and God are not identical, but they are one, and they are both active in creation in different ways. So, as you look at this passage in John, he strives for balance, perhaps more than in any other gospel. He strives for balance between talking about Christ's divinity and Christ's humanity. Every time he talks about the divine, he goes right into talking about the flesh. And every time he talks about the flesh, he goes right back into talking about the Word and the divinity. As much as he just emphasizes Christ's divinity, as you go through the gospel, Jesus reminds his hearers over and over and over again that he is just the mouthpiece. Everything he says comes straight from God, straight back to his humanity. And what's interesting is when you look back, look at this preamble, you look at this opening portion to the book of John, you see him going back and forth between the word Word and light. Word and light. You can track it. Word, light. Word, light. Word, light. Very much like Genesis, where you have the Word that creates the light. God speaks, actions happen. This sets the tone for the rest of John when we see two forms of revelation through Jesus Christ. Word and light. Audible and visual. Do you see that? Audible and visual. Things he says and things he does. When we talk about God revealing himself through Jesus Christ, when we talk about the Word made flesh, we see Christ showing God's Word in the things that he says and the things that he does. And John alternates those two, just as we see Word, light, Word, light, Word, light in the beginning of his book. Throughout the rest of his gospel, we see Christ explaining something, and then Christ doing something. Christ explaining something, Christ doing something. Again and again and again. And we get to see God's truth and light and grace revealed through Jesus Christ. We get to see how God moves through the world, how God helps people, accepts people, loves people, heals people, explains scripture to people, educates people, breaks bread with people, and explains the truth and the light to all people. You see that? You all still with me? Okay. So let's talk for a second about grace. Let's talk for a second about grace. Because in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, he talks about how Moses brought the law, but Christ Jesus brought grace and truth. So imagine for a second, let's talk for just a second about something way, way, way back. Some of you may be aware, others of you may not be aware. Before I was a minister, years ago, we're talking way back, like 150 years ago, back in the desert days, right, when we used tin cans with strings to call each other and text, I used to teach ballroom dancing. Did you know that? How many people never knew this before me? Taught ballroom dancing. Yeah. Okay. I was a six dancer. I taught waltz, foxtrot, cha-cha, tango, rumba, and swing. This is one of the things that I do with my life. And so I want to imagine that I want you to imagine that I'm coming here to teach you how to dance. So I wrote a book about it. It's about 400 pages long. And it has a list of rules, do's and don'ts, of how you dance correctly and how to dance incorrectly and what happens if you dance incorrectly. And I'm going to give that to you, and I'm going to expect you to read it and memorize it and don't make any mistakes. You got it? Okay, now I'm assuming none of you know how to read, but somebody will read it to you. And if you have any questions, I'm sure they'll explain it to you. Do you think you could learn how to dance doing that? No. No. But imagine if I came down here and I walked up to some unsuspecting person and I said, excuse me, would you like to dance? Oh, she's very amenable. You can't touch me? Okay, we're gonna risk germ warfare here. And imagine if I brought up Hillary. Thank you so much for coming up. You all know Hillary, I'm sure. And if I said, I would like to show you how to dance. Would you be willing to listen for a minute and try some things with me? And I will do it with you. Okay. I will practice it with you. Okay, so let's just make sure we're not going to trip over anybody here. I'm going to have you stand over here where there's less to trip on.
Okay, that's good.
And what I'm going to have you do is, no, face me. Face me. You're going to look at the back of me for just a second. Starting with your right foot, we're going to take two long steps back. Not so long that you get off balance, but just two long steps back. Good, let's do that again. Okay, starting with your right foot. One, two. Okay, now your right foot should be free, and we're going to take two little steps to the side and stop. Okay, let's do that again. I'm going to come up here. Starting with your right foot, we're going to go back, back, side, together. All at once. Back, back, side, together. Good. Let's come up and get a little more room, and we're going to do that like three times in a row. And Jeff, you're going to be careful not to let her trip on your foot, okay? All right, starting with your right foot. Slow, slow, quick, quick. Slow, slow, keep going. Slow, slow, quick, quick. Watch the bench. Slow, slow, quick, quick. Good, good. Was she doing it? She was doing it. Okay, great, great. Now, come here for just a second. Okay. I'm going to hold this hand here.
Okay.
And you're going to put this hand on my shoulder if that's okay. Okay. Is it okay if I put my hand here on your back?
Sure.
Okay, let's come up here and get a little more space.
Okay.
Now, you're going to do exactly what you just did.
Okay.
But I'm going to be doing the opposite, so we're going to be together. Okay. And if you look down, don't worry because our feet are staggered, so okay. No one's going to step on each other.
Oh,
all right?
Good.
Slow, slow, here we go. Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow, slow, quick, quick. Good. Oh, she turned and everything. Slow, slow, quick, quick. Good. Let's try one more thing.
Okay.
She did great. She did great. Okay, come this way.
Okay.
Now, I would like you to, with your right foot, instead of stepping straight back, I want you to turn and step so that you're facing that direction.
Okay.
So that's step one. Then come all the way around so you're facing me again and side together. Good. Let's do that one more time. Starting with this foot, we're going to go one, two, side together. Good. Let's try that with you, holding hands. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go one, let go. Let go with this hand.
Okay.
Two, side together. Good.
Okay.
Good. You did great. Let's do it down this direction so that we have more room. We don't run into Jeff. You ready? So I'm going to do one basic. And then I'm going to put you through the turn, okay?
Okay.
I'll count it out. Slow, slow, here we go. Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Keep going. Whoops, slow, quick, quick, slow, slow. Here's another one. Turn, two, quick, quick, and a basic. Two, quick, quick. Yes, she did fabulously. Thank you so much. You may have a seat. She just learned the foxtrot and a basic long turn. And though she does not realize it, we did several checks to get her around this turn to bring her back without running out the window and falling down the hillside. Now, and it took about how long? A couple of minutes? Was it fun? How many people wish they could have done that a little bit too? Uh-huh. Yeah, very different than if I just presented you a book and told you to memorize it, huh? Very different. Very different to have someone come down and say, I will show you how. I will walk with you. I will let you learn by doing with me. And if we make a mistake, we can try again. Because we're all in this together. And if it's a lot of fun, if you really enjoy it, you can tell your friends about it. Or they may just see what's happening. They may want to get involved. It's very different from being handed a law book and being told to adhere. It's grace. It's a gift. The Word made flesh among us. was a gift because God was able to reveal truth and light about what it means to move through the world in a much more tangible way, in a much more absorbable way. And so when we see Christ accepting people, every time someone came to him that should have been cast out, and he just embraced them, kicked that barrier right over and embraced them, watching him do that is very different from reading a law about it. Watching him bring people together from all walks of life to sit down and feed them is very different from reading, having someone read a piece of scripture about it. Something else entirely to sit down and actually do it. Every time we saw him challenge a power structure, I mean, we have laws on the books here in the United States about how power should be balanced and who has rights to what. It's very different to watch a bunch of people demonstrate and claim those rights. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. A man named Leon Morris wrote a book about the book of John, and he said in it, grace. Grace is one of the great Christian words, and it is a minor mystery that John uses it 3 times in his prologue and not again throughout his gospel. The word basically means that which causes joy. That which causes joy, and so means winsomeness. It comes to signify goodwill, kindness, and the like, often with the notion that favor is shown and is undeserved. In the Christian understanding of things, grace is especially seen in God's provision for our spiritual need by sending his Son to be our Savior. From this we get the thought of the good gifts that God bestows on those who are saved, and finally that of the attitude of thankfulness that people ought to have toward God for all his goodness to them. Nowhere do we see more clearly what the grace of God means than in the Word made flesh. And I get an amen to that.